The Harold Wallace Rosenthal Interview 1976 The Hidden Tyranny. The below article is a reproduction of a booklet containing a well-known of interview that shall absolutely shock the average Christian who is unaware of this kind of information. The article contains the text of a most revealing and shocking interview of a Jew by the name of Harold Rosenthal, an influential Jew learned in the Jewish ways and involved in the workings of government in Washington, D.C., explaining the Jewish involvement and cause of the major problems we face today. Mr. Harold Wallace Rosenthal, age 29, the administrative assistant to Senator Jacob K. Javits of New York, who was since defeated in the 1980 election, was killed a month after giving this recorded interview in an alleged skyjacking attempt on an Israeli airliner in Istanbul, Turkey, August 12, 1976. Did it have anything to do with his revealing sensitive Jewish programs? God knows. You should know how the Jews think of you, what they plan to do to you, and what they have already accomplished by 1976. One can but only imagine how far their plans have progressed in the intervening years. To date SEP 2004, I have heard of no refuting of this article recorded and transcribed in 1976 by Jewish activists, apologists, or so-called watchdog groups. What follows below is the transcript of the July 1976 interview, preceded by an introduction from Charles A. Weissman, circa June 1992. Hold on to your seats. The Harold Wallace Rosenthal Interview 1976 The Hidden Tyranny Introduction. This booklet contains the text of a most revealing and shocking interview of a Jew by the name of Harold Rosenthal, which was conducted in 1976 by a concerned patriot, a Walter White, Jr. Mr. Rosenthal, an influential Jew learned in the Jewish ways and involved in the workings of government in Washington, D.C., explained the Jewish involvement and cause of the major problems we face today. Rosenthal, in exposing certain aspects of the inner invisible world of Jewry, revealed the modes and tactics Jews have used in destroying world civilization and covertly attaining control over our lives and governments. The result has been a hidden tyranny upon us, like the tyranny waged against the saints by the Red Beast system of revelation referred to as Mystery Babylon. As Edmund Burke stated, the only thing necessary for evil to triumph is for good men to do nothing. But before we can properly act, we need a proper, not just a superficial, understanding of the problem. This booklet will help provide the reader with that understanding. Charles A. Weissman, June 1992. From Church of True Israel website. The Harold Wallace Rosenthal Interview 1976 Part 1. In a highly confidential interview with a Jewish administrative assistant to one of this nation's ranking senators, he said, "It is a marvel that the American people do not rise up and drive every Jew out of this country." The Jew, Mr. Harold Wallace Rosenthal, made this statement after admitting Jewish dominance in all significant national programs. He said, "We Jews continue to be amazed with the ease by which Christian Americans have fallen into our hands. While the naive Americans wait for Khrushchev to bury them, we have taught them to submit to our every demand." Asked how a nation could be captured without their knowing it, Mr. Rosenthal attributed this victory to absolute control of the media. He boasted of Jewish control of ALL News. Any newspaper which refused to acquiesce to controlled news was brought to its knees by withdrawing advertising. Failing in this, the Jews stopped the supply of news, print and ink. "It's a very simple matter," he stated. Asked about men in high political office, Mr. Rosenthal said that no one in the last three decades has achieved any political power without Jewish approval. "Americans have not had a presidential choice since 1932. Roosevelt was our man. Every president since Roosevelt has been our man." In a discussion about George Wallace, Mr. Rosenthal smiled and suggested that we note where Wallace stands today. When the U.S. foreign policy was mentioned, the bedroom confidence of the interview was all but set aside. With disdain and mockery, he sneered at the American stupidity in failing to see through the entire scope of Kissinger's foreign policy. "It is Zionist communist policy from beginning to end. Yet the citizens think this Jewish policy will benefit America." He cited détente and Angola as examples of Jewish diplomacy. The credulous nature of Americans drew only contempt from him. The interview continued on an almost omniscient plane. "We Jews have put issue upon issue to the American people. then we promote both sides of the issue as confusion reigns. With their eyes fixed on the issues, they fail to see who is behind every scene. We Jews toy with the American public as a cat toys with a mouse. As the conversation went on into the late hours, one could sense that perhaps America deserves the reign of terror being planned for her. The Jewish mind pits every ethnic group against the other. The blood of the masses will flow as we wait for our day of world victory, Mr. Rosenthal said coldly. 4 hours after this incredible discussion, a sense of inadequacy prevailed. Is it possible that another group of human being could be so treacherous in spirit, so evil in intent? Yet, the words heard and the evidence at hand are real. Is it possible that the American people can remain docile, even while their life's blood is being drained from them? It seems so. What does all this say to us? Since what you have just read plus the lengthy interview that followed, Mr. Harold Wallace Rosenthal, age 29, the administrative assistant to Senator Jacob K. Javits of New York was killed in an alleged skyjacking attempt on an Israeli airliner in Istanbul, Turkey, August 12, 1976. It would appear that Mr. Rosenthal might have talked too freely because although 4 people were killed and some 30 injured during the skyjacking attempt, Rosenthal was not killed by a random bullet as were the others. From reports secured at the time, it seems amazing and strange that of all the people involved in this incident Mr. Rosenthal should have been fatally wounded. Meanwhile, Walter White, who conducted this confidential interview, can now state after much investigation, expense and travel, that Harold Rosenthal was undoubtedly murdered at the Istanbul airport, in what was to appear as a hijacking probably by his own people. We had no desire to hurt anyone and especially members of the Rosenthal family who had suffered enough in this tragedy. We corresponded with his mother and father in Philadelphia and his brother Mark David Rosenthal, who is attending college in Northern California. In fact, it was he who advised me that Harold's friends in Washington had set up a memorial fund in Harold W. Rosenthal's name. He sent us a copy of the Harold W. Rosenthal Fellowship and International Relations American Jewish Committee, Washington Chapter, 818-18th Street, Northwest Washington, D.C. 20,006. It lists some of the who's who, and the honorary co-chairman are Vice President Walter F. Mondale and Senator Jacob K. Javits. Out of respect, we decided to wait until a year had passed since the death of Harold Wallace Rosenthal, so we delayed publishing everything he gave us on the memorable day and evening. And as stated before, the interview was lengthy as he seemed to enjoy pouring out this information, and at times it was broken and went on into the evening. This writer and editor is not easily shocked, but as this egotist Harold W. Rosenthal raved on and on, I found so much of what he said actually horrifying, the actual betrayal of which he admittedly was a part, and he appeared to gloat over the apparent success of a Jewish world conspiracy. This, mind you, comes from an administrative assistant to one of our ranking senators, Jacob K. Javits of New York. What you are about to read should act as a warning to all non-Jews throughout the world. It hopefully should open the eyes of many who knew him in Washington government circles. It becomes indeed obvious that what he discloses is not fiction. It is not imagination. He was not pretending as he spoke with knowledge and intelligence. Many things have been said and written about the One World Jewish Conspiracy, but never has it been described so openly. It staggers the imagination. Their plans are shocking, and many will be astonished at the contents of this document. Nothing like it has ever been told before. We prefer not to elaborate. You be the judge. Looking back to the time of this interview and having had time to analyze Harold Rosenthal's candidness, we are compelled to think of him as a conceited, boastful yet very knowledgeable person. I would classify him as an egotist and an egoist. At times his cruelty surfaced with a venom, especially as he describes the stupid Christians or goys as he so often referred to us. This surprised me because the word goy is not in our language, and he must have known this. His mind was thoroughly immersed in the one world plan of world Jewry. With arrogance, he boasted that the Jews' conquest of the world was almost complete thanks to Christian stupidity. When asked if he was a Zionist, M.R. Rosenthal replied, "That's a hell of a question. At the foundation of the issue, the traditional Zionist concept of Allah, a Hebrew term meaning the ingathering or return of diaspora L dispersed Jews to the Palestine homeland. Ever since 1948 and the creation of the State of Israel, Allah has become a basic imperative of Israeli government policy. What is Allah? Will you please spell it for me? He did so and we inquired as to the realistic meaning of Allah. Mr. Rosenthal said, "It is a permanent physical migration to Palestine, not just a visit." We asked, "What is Zionism?" "I've heard Jews define it as anything from permanent migration to financial spiritual support of Israel from around the world." Mr. Rosenthal replied, "Our first leader, former Prime Minister David Ben-Gurion, said that Zionism without a return to Zion is phony. Not many American Jews migrate permanently to Israel. Some say that all Jews, by definition, are Zionists. Others say that a Jew is not a Zionist unless he's a member who pays dues to an actively Zionist organization. Definitions have been tossed everywhere since the Jewish homeland became a reality. Millions of tax-exempt American dollars are sent to Israel yearly and we true American do not like this," Mr. Rosenthal replied. "The naive politicians in Washington are gullible. Most of them are not too bright, so the powerful Jewish lobbyists influenced this practice years ago and there is no one strong enough to stop it. Some of the money is even returned to the United States and spent on Zionist propaganda efforts, much of it through the B'nai B'rith and the Conference of Jewish Organizations and the World Jewish Congress. The Jewish Agency is a funding arm, a sort of body of B'nai B'rith officials. There is nothing wrong with sending American dollars to Israel tax-free so long as we are smart enough to get away with it. Let's reverse this conversation for a minute. You made it clear and quite vociferously that you don't like Jews. Why do you hate us?" "Mr. Rosenthal, I do not hate anybody. I said I hate what the Jews are doing to us and especially as it relates to any and everything related to Christianity. I hate their deceit, trickery, cunning and their detestable dishonesty. Does that make me anti-Semitic? If it does, then I am anti-Semitic. Anti-Semitism does not signify opposition to Semitism. There is no such thing. It is an expression we Jews use effectively as a smear word used to brand as a bigot, like you guys, anyone who brings criticism against Jews. We use it against hate mongers. It was made clear that I despise the Jews' corruptive influence on our Christian culture and on our properly Christ-oriented American way of life," to which Mr. Rosenthal said, "During Christ's time, the Jews were seeking a material and earthly kingdom but Christ offered the Jews a spiritual kingdom. This, they couldn't buy, so they rejected Jesus Christ and had him crucified." "What do you mean had him crucified? Doesn't history prove that the Jews crucified Jesus Christ?" To which he answered, "Yes, I guess they did. I don't beat around the bush, but 2,000 years ago your people would have done the same thing to a man who mistreated them as Christ did the Jews. You speak of Jesus Christ as merely a man. That's all he was, a man who walked on the earth like any other man, and this myth about Christ rising from the dead and returning to earth to visit with his disciples is a bunch of crap. The Jews who drove the Arabs out of Palestine did so to disprove Christ's mission for a spiritual kingdom. You see, instead of a leader who would make an empire for the Jews, your kind of people gave the Jews a peaceful preacher called Christ who instead of an eye for an eye turns the other cheek. Rubbish. We are building and, in fact, have built an earthly empire without your kind and your disappointing Messiah. I can see that it is you and your kind who try to get Christ out of Christmas. I feel sorry for you," to which he quickly replied, "Don't give me that shit. I don't want your pity. I don't need it. Too many Jews do not have the guts to tell you how we live and plan, but I am not intimidated by anyone or anything. I know where I'm going." We asked, "Why do Jews frequently change their names?" He said, "Jews are the most intelligent people in the world, so if it benefits them to change their name, they do so. That's all there is to it. They mix in your society, which is plenty corrupt, so while the Jews are benefiting themselves, the dumb goy doesn't realize that these Jews with non-Jew names are Jews. I know what you are thinking about Jews in government who use non-Jew names. Well, don't be concerned, because in the foreseeable future there will be no presidential power in the United States. The invisible government is taking strength in the direction. To your knowledge, are the Jews in Russia really persecuted or are they given any kind of freedom? To which he said, most Jews throughout the world, I'd say more than 90%, know what is really happening to our people. We have communication unequaled anywhere. It is only the jerks, the ignorant and misinformed and degenerates who can find peace in your society, and you bastards hide your sins by donning sheep's clothing. You are the hypocrites, not the Jews, as you say and write about. To answer your question, in Russia, there are two distinct governments, one visible and the other invisible. The visible is made up of different nationalities, whereas the invisible is composed of ALL Jews. The powerful Soviet secret police takes its orders from the invisible government. There are about 6 to 7 million communists in Soviet Russia, 50% are Jews and 50% are Gentiles, but the Gentiles are not trusted. The communist Jews are united and trust each other, while the others spy on one another. About every 5 to 6 years the secret Jewish board calls for the purge of the party and many are liquidated. When asked, why? He said, because they begin to understand too much about the Jewish secret government. Russian communists have a secret group order which consists of Jews only. They rule over everything pertaining to the visible government. It was this powerful organization that was responsible for the secret removal of the center of communism to Tel Aviv, from where all instructions now originate. Does our government and the United Nations have knowledge of this? He replied, the United Nations is nothing but a trapdoor to the Red World's immense concentration camp. We pretty much control the UN. When asked why the communists destroy the middle class or educated and their entire families when they invade a country, Mr. Rosenthal replied, it is an established rule to destroy all members of pre-existing government, their families and relatives, but never Jews. They destroy all members of the police, state police, army officers and their families, but never Jews. You see, we know when a government begins the search for the communists within its borders, they are really attempting to uncover Jews in their area. We're not fooled. The invisible rulers in the communist countries have a world control over the propaganda and the governments in free countries. We control every media of expression, including newspapers, magazines, radio and television. Even your music. We censor the songs released for publication long before they reach the publishers. Before long we will have complete control of your thinking. The way you boast, if this is true, it is frightening to think about our future, and that of Christianity. To which Mr. Rosenthal said, there will be a forced class warfare here in the United States and many will be liquidated. You will unquestionably be among them. The Jews will not be harmed. I'm not boasting. I'm giving you the facts. And it is too late for your Christian followers to put up a defense. That time is long past. Long, long ago we had to become the aggressors. That is undoubtedly one of our great purposes in life. We are aggressors. Because you stole your pretended religious beliefs from our Talmud. After reminding him that we thought he was intelligent but now realize that he doesn't know what he was talking about, he replied, Judaism is the unequaled culture, with nothing, nothing anywhere in the world to compare with it. Your so-called Christianity is an outgrowth of Judaism. The cultural and intellectual influence of Judaism is felt throughout the entire world, yes, throughout civilization. When I asked whether he thought we faced a problem eventually with the blacks because of their startling population increase, he said that the blacks are helping to serve our purpose, which might mean several things. We discussed the black invasion of city, county and state and their prominence now in television. Also how ridiculous it is for blacks to become converted to Jews, like Sammy Davis for instance. Mr. R. replied, that doesn't mean anything. We know that a black cannot become a Jew and that Sammy Davis is still black. It may have been to his advantage to become converted. In reality he still remains a nigger and not a Jew. I told him of my in-depth study of the Jews and that there were few who have done more research on world Jewry than I, and about my unpleasant discoveries, reminding Mr. R. that there is no morality among Jews. He replied, money is more important than morality. We can accomplish anything with money. Our people are proving that in Israel, where its strength against attack is its permanent state of war readiness. Israel can now win in any encounter. the kibbutz-raised intellectual elements are going to build that small country into a Mideast wonderland. It will also eventually be the base for world government headquarters. Talmudic Judaism is a religion of Jewish world control and slavery. We discussed the tragedy of Watergate and corruption at all levels of government and suggested that government representatives practice more openness and candor in dealing with the people. Mr. R. said, "What good would it do? What the hell does the public know about the running of government? The great majority are asses, horses' asses. May we quote you on that? I don't care what you do, as I said, if you have the guts to speak out. We would all have better understanding between each other, Jews and Gentiles, if we spoke out more openly. Your people don't have guts. We establish your thinking, we even place within you a guilt complex making you afraid to criticize jury openly." The Jewish belief and religion. In the quietness of this enlightening conversation, it became clear that the understanding poured forth did not come from a novice. Mr. Rosenthal was asked how Jews gain acceptance so easily among other races. His answer was long and thorough. At a very early date, urged on by the desire to make our way in the world, Jews began to look for a means whereby we might distract all attention from the racial aspect. What could be more effective, and at the same time more above suspicion, than to borrow and utilize the idea of a religious community? We've been forced to borrow this idea from the Aryans. We Jews never possessed any religious institution which developed out of our own consciousness, for we lack any kind of idealism. This means that a belief in life beyond this terrestrial existence is foreign to us. As a matter of fact, the Talmud does not lay down principles with which to prepare the individual for a life to come, but furnishes only rules for a sumptuous life in this world. It is a collection of instructions for maintaining the Jewish race and regulating intercourses between us and the Goy. Our teachings are not concerned with moral problems, but rather with how to get. This explains the parasitic nature of Jewish people. Jews never get rich off one another, but seek to get the labor and wealth of others. In regard to the moral value of the Jews' religious teaching, there exist quite exhaustive studies which show the kind of religion that we have in a light that makes it look uncanny to the Aryan mind. We are the best example of the kind of product which religious training evolves. Our life is of this world only, and our mentality is as foreign to the true spirits of Christianity as our character was to the founder of this new creed 2,000 years ago. The founder of Christianity made no secret of his estimation of the Jews and the fact that he was not one of us. When he found it necessary, he drove us out of the temple of God, because then, as always, we used religion as a means of advancing our commercial interest. The merchants of Babylon have commercialized our society. But at that time, we managed to nail Jesus to the cross for his attitude towards us. Whereas, the modern Christians enter into party politics and in order to win elections, they debase themselves by begging for Jewish votes. They even enter into political intrigues with us against the interests or their own nation. These people have been called by various names: scalawags, political prostitutes, carpetbaggers, charlatans, traitors, stooges, pawns, etc. We can live among other nations and states only as long as we succeed in persuading them that the Jews are not a distinct people, but are the representatives of a religious faith who, therefore, constitute a religious community, though this be of a peculiar character. As a matter of fact, this is the greatest of our falsehoods. The Jews have established 5 major falsehoods which work to conceal their nature and protect their status and power, to wit, the Jews are Israelites, and thus God's chosen people. Jesus Christ was a Jew. That 6 million Jews were killed in a Holocaust during WW2. That all races are equal, or that all are brothers. That the Jews are just another religious group. We are obliged to conceal our own particular character and mode of life so that we will be allowed to continue our existence as a parasite among the nations. Our success in this line has gone so far that many believe that the Jews among them are genuine Frenchmen, or Englishmen, or Italians, or Germans who just happen to belong to a religious denomination which is different from that prevailing in these countries. Especially in circles concerned with government, where the officials have only a minimum of historical sense, we are able to impose our infamous deception with comparative ease. Therefore, there is never the slightest suspicion that we Jews form a distinct nation and are not merely the adherents of a confession. Though one glance at the press which we control ought to furnish sufficient evidence to the contrary, even for those who possess only the smallest degree of intelligence. The money power. When questioned about the ways in which the Jews have gained power, Mr. Rosenthal said, "Our power has been created through the manipulation of the national monetary system." We authored the quotation, "Money is power." As revealed in our master plan, it was essential for us to establish a private national bank. The Federal Reserve System fitted our plan nicely since it is owned by us, but the name implies that it is a government institution. From the very outset, our purpose was to confiscate all the gold and silver, replacing them with worthless non-redeemable paper notes. This we have done. When asked about the term non-redeemable notes, Mr. Rosenthal replied, "Prior to 1968, the gullible goy could take a $1 Federal Reserve note into any bank in America and redeem it for a dollar, which was by law a coin containing 412 and one-half grains of 90% silver. Up until 1933, one could have redeemed the same note for a coin of 25 and four-fifths THS grains of 90% gold. All we do is give the goy more non-redeemable notes, or else copper slugs. But we never give them the gold and silver. Only more paper," he said contemptuously. "We Jews have prospered through the paper gimmick. It's our method through which we take money and give only paper in return. The economic problem of America and the world is ultimately a Jewish problem, or as Henry Ford stated, the money question, properly solved, is the end of the Jewish question and every other question of a mundane nature." "Can you give me an example of this?" we asked. "The examples are numerous, but a few readily apparent are the stocks and bonds market, all forms of insurance and the fractional reserve system practiced by the Federal Reserve Corporation, not to mention the billions in gold and silver that we have gained in exchange for paper notes, stupidly called money." Money power was essential in carrying out our master plan of international conquest through propaganda. When asked how they proposed doing this, he said, "At first, by controlling the banking system we were able to control corporation capital. Through this, we acquired total monopoly of the movie industry, the radio networks and the newly developing television media. The printing industry, newspapers, periodicals and technical journals had already fallen into our hands. The richest plum was later to come when we took over the publication of all school materials. Through these vehicles we could mold public opinion to suit our own purposes. The people are only stupid pigs that grunt and squeal the chance we give them, whether they be truth or lies." Mind control and conditioning. When asked if the Jews felt any threat from the silent majority, he laughed at the idea, saying, "There is no such thing as the silent majority because we control their cry and hue. The only thing that exists is an unthinking majority, and unthinking they will remain, as long as their escape from a rigorous service is the opiate of our entertainment industry. By controlling industry, we have become the taskmasters and the people the slaves. When the pressure of daily toil builds to an explosive degree, we have provided the safety valve of momentary pleasure. The television and movie industries furnish the necessary temporary distraction. These programs are carefully designed to appeal to the sensuous emotions, never to the logical thinking mind. Because of this, the people are programmed to respond according to our dictates, not according to reason. Silent they never are. Thinking they will remain." Continuing his thought of Jewish control over the goyim, Mr. Rosenthal said, "We have castrated society through fear and intimidation. Its manhood exists only in combination with a feminine outward appearance. Being so neutered, the populace has become docile and easily ruled. As all geldings in nature, their thoughts are not involved with the concerns of the future and their posterity, but only with the present toil and the next meal." Manipulation of labor and industry. It was obvious that the excitement of Mr. Rosenthal was triggered when mention was made of the nation's industry. "We have been successful in dividing society against itself by pitting labor against management. The social labor movement, employing labor unions, a manipulation of wages and prices, and government regulation of business, was the brainchild of Jews such as Karl Marx and Samuel Gompers. The result was a destruction of free enterprise. This perhaps has been one of our greatest feats, since in reality it is a triangle, though only two points ever seem to occur. In modern industry where exists capital, which force we represent, is the apex. Both management and labor are on the base of this triangle. They continually stand opposed to each other and their attention is never directed to the head of their problem. Management is forced to raise prices since we are ever increasing the cost of capital. Labor must have increasing wages and management must have higher prices, thus creating a vicious cycle. We are never called to task for our role, which is the real reason for inflation, since the conflict between management and labor is so severe that neither has time to observe our activities. It is our increase in the cost of capital that causes the inflation cycle. We do not labor or manage, and yet we receive the profits. Through our money manipulation, the capital that we supply industry costs us nothing. Through our national bank, the Federal Reserve, we extend book credit, which we create from nothing, to all local banks who are member banks. They in turn extend book credit to industry. Thus, we do more than God, for all of our wealth is created from nothing. You look shocked. Don't be. It's true, we actually do more than God. With this supposed capital we bring industry, management and labor into our debt, which debt only increases and is never liquidated. Through this continual increase, we are able to pit management against labor so they will never unite and attack us and usher in a debt-free industrial utopia. We are the necessary element since we expend nothing. Management can create its own capital, the profits. Its business would grow and profits increase. Labor would prosper as well, while the price of the product would remain constant, the prosperity of industry, labor and management would continually increase. We Jews glory in the fact that the stupid goyim have never realized that we are the parasites consuming an increasing portion of production while the producers are continually receiving less and less. The control over religion as the hours rolled on in this intense, but cordial, interview, M.R. Rosenthal exposed his thoughts concerning religion. Religion, too, must be taught, and through this necessity we have labored. As the Jew Karl Marx stated, religion is the opiate of the people. With our control of the textbook industry and the news media, we have been able to hold ourselves up as the authorities on religion. Many of our rabbis now hold professorships in supposed Christian theological seminaries. We are amazed by the Christian stupidity in receiving our teachings and propagating them as their own. This is one of the main reasons for the power and the control Jews have attained over white nations, the adopting of Jewish ways. As Henry Ford stated, the Christian cannot read his Bible except through Jewish spectacles, and, therefore, reads it wrong. The International Jew Vol. IV, pages 238. As a result, Christians don't have God's word on a certain matter, they have the Jew's word. Judaism is not only the teaching of the synagogue, but also the doctrine of every Christian church in America. Through our propaganda, the church has become our most avid supporter. This has even given us a special place in society, they're believing the lie that we are the chosen people and they, Gentiles. These deluded children of the church defend us to the point of destroying their own culture. Jews need not have their finger on every button that causes a destruction or a Judaization of Christian civilization, as in many cases they have their proselytes or Gentile fronts to do it for them. This truth is evident even to the dullard when one views history and sees that all wars have been white fighting white in order that we maintain our control. We controlled England during the Revolutionary War, the North during the Civil War, and England and America during World War I and II. Through our influence of religion we were able to involve the ignorant white Christians in war against themselves, which always impoverished both sides while we reaped a financial and political harvest. Anytime truth comes forth which exposes us, we simply rally our forces, the ignorant Christians. They attack the Crusaders even if they are members of their own families. Anyone who has been in the forefront exposing the truth of the Jewish issue can attest to this fact stated by Mr. Rosenthal. Through religion we have gained complete control of society, government and economics. No law is ever passed except its merits have previously been taught from the pulpits. An example of this is race equality, which led to integration and ultimately to mongrelization. The gullible clergy in one breath instruct their parishioners that we are a special, chosen people, while in another breath proclaim all races are the same. Their inconsistency is never discovered. So we Jews enjoy a special place in society while all other races are reduced to racial equality. It is for this reason that we authored the equality hoax, thereby reducing all to a lower level. We have been taught that our current economic practices are benevolent, therefore Christian. These pulpit parrots extol our goodness for loaning them the money to build their temples, never realizing that their own holy book condemns all usury. They are eager to pay our exorbitant interest rates. They have led society into our control through the same practice. Politically, they eye all the blessings of democracy and never understand that through democracy we have gained control of their nation. Their book. Notice that Mr. Rosenthal always refers to the Bible as their book, the white people, never as our book or the Jews' book. Again, teaches a benevolent despotic form of government in accordance with the laws of the book, while a democracy is mob rule which we control through their churches, our news media and economic institutions. Their religion is only another channel through which we can direct the power of our propaganda. These religious puppets' stupidity is only exceeded by their cowardice, for they are ruled easily. The light dawns. Rarely does any man confess the intimacy of his soul as did Mr. Rosenthal. Hindsight suggests that there was a greater force compelling this man to reveal what has been written here. The remainder of the interview seems to confirm this. Since we do not believe in a life after death, all our efforts are directed to the now. We are not as foolish as you and will never adopt an ideology that is rooted in self-sacrifice. Whereas you will live and die for the benefit of the community, we will live and die only for our own individual self. The idea of self-sacrifice is abhorred by Jews. It is abhorrent to me. No cause is worth dying lot since death is the end. The only time we unite is to preserve our individual selves. As a group of wolves unite to attack a prey, but then disperse after each is filled, so we Jews unite when peril is pending, not to preserve our community but to save our own skin. This attitude permeates our entire being and philosophy. We are not the creators, for to create would only benefit another. The white race has clearly been the creators in terms of inventions, achievements, etc., and by them all the families or races of the world have been blessed or have benefited from them, as prophesied in Genesis 12:3, 28:14. This proves Jews are not God's chosen people. We are the acquirers and are interested only in satisfying the self. To understand our philosophy, understand the term to get. We never give but only take. We never labor but enjoy the fruits of others' labor. We do not create but confiscate. We are not the producers but the parasites. We can physically live within any society, but always remain spiritually apart. To work would be to produce, and the highest form of that labor would be to create. Your race has always worked for the satisfaction of what it produces. We would never work for anyone's benefit, only for what we can get. We have used this Aryan attitude to achieve our greatest prosperity. You will work for the enjoyment you derive out of producing, while never being concerned about the pay. We take your productivity for a paltry fee and turn it into fortunes. Until recently, the pride of workmanship exceeded the quest for high incomes. However, we have been able to enslave society to our own power, which is money, by causing them to seek after it. We have converted the people to our philosophy of getting and acquiring so that they will never be satisfied. A dissatisfied people are the pawns in our game of world conquest. Thus, they are always seeking and never able to find satisfaction. The very moment they seek happiness outside themselves, they become our willing servants. Your people never realize that we offer them only worthless baubles that cannot bring fulfillment. They procure one and consume it and are not filled. They procure one and consume it and are not filled. We present another. We have an infinite number of outward distractions, to the extent that life cannot again turn inward to find its definite fulfillment. You have become addicted to our medicine, through which we have become your absolute masters. On the first and fundamental lie, the purpose of which is to make people believe that we are not a nation but a religion, other lies are subsequently based. Our greatest fear is that this falsehood will be discovered, for we will be stamped out the moment the general public comes into possession of the truth and acts upon it. It is one thing to put a man in possession of the truth, to get him to understand it is another, and to get him to act upon it is another still. Truth by itself has no value unless used or applied in some way. It is becoming apparent that an awakening is occurring even here in America. We had hoped that through our devastation of Christian Germany that any subject dealing with us would be a fearful taboo. However, there seems to be a resurgence here in the one nation that we so strongly control. We are presently making plans for a rapid exodus. We know that when the light begins to dawn, there will be no stopping it. All efforts on our part will only intensify that light and draw focus upon it. We fear that light is coming forth in movements across this land, especially yours. It has amazed us how you have been successful in reaching the people after we closed every door of communication. This, we fear, is a sign of a coming pogrom that will take place in America soon. The American public has realized that we are in control, which is a fatal mistake on our part. This nation could never be the land of the free as long as it is the land of the Jew. This is a concept most patriots cannot understand. Patriots have spent untold man hours fighting the IRS, the Federal Reserve, the media, Congress or government in general. These things are merely tools which the Jew now uses against the detestable Goyim. The problem is not the tool or device, but the heathen in control of it. This is the revelation that will be our undoing. The American people have been easily ruled through our propaganda that the pen is mightier than the sword. We virtually get away with murder, and all the Goy do is to talk about it, which is ineffective since we, the masters of propaganda, always publish a contradicting account. If the Aryan would review history and apply those lessons of the past, then the pen will be thrown down in disgust and the sword wielded in the heat of passion. A recurrence to history would edify our minds and show us that the European countries solved their Jewish problem only by use of force. Thus far, we have escaped the sword, when the only reprisal is some periodical of no repute, or some pamphlet with limited circulation. Their pen is no match for ours, but our constant fear is that they may open their eyes and learn that no change was ever brought about with a pen. History has been written in blood, not with ink. No letter, editorial or book has ever rallied the people or stopped tyranny. We understand this principle and are continually propagandizing the people to write letters to the president, to Congress and to their local media. We are safe to continually exploit, intimidate and disenfranchise the white American as long as they are preoccupied with the illusion of educating the masses through printed material. Woe be unto us if they ever see the futility of it, lay down the pen and employ the sword. History confirms the fact that the passions of an aroused minority, no matter how small a group, have exerted enough power to topple the greatest empire. The movements that control destiny are not those that rest on the inactive majority, but on the sheer force of an active minority. Will is power, not numbers, for a strong will always rule the masses. In examining the extent of Jewish power and control over America, Henry Ford stated this control can be explained only by the Jewish will to power. The International Jew, 1920, Vol. I, pages 210. Again, we are safe as long as our will is stronger, or the will of the people is misdirected, scattered and without leadership. We will never be deposed with words, only force. Would this not be the logical and proper course of action required to rid the land of any type of invader or hostile enemy? The wisdom of Mr. Harold Rosenthal has been set forth truthfully and accurately. The question now to you is, what can you do to protect the nation and every citizen from the above potentials? Those of us who have been in this battle to save our once great nation for so many years possibly become calloused, not too sensitive to the horrible things going on around us. I must admit, however, that the facts as conveyed by Harold Wallace Rosenthal have made their impact on this writer. The interview, or perhaps a better word might be confession, has helped to bring to the surface a reality of what we veterans have known for years, but the stark reality of Jewish treachery becomes more shocking when getting it all in one package. Mr. Rosenthal, a former influential Jew in his own right, prided himself in being a vital part of the admitted control of the media, and of their invisible government in which no political power is exercised without Jewish approval. Let us also highlight the other key remarks of Mr. Rosenthal, that the American people have no guts and the Jews sneer at their stupidity. The Jews power through their money and the money power afford them a master plan for international conquest through propaganda. There is in America an unthinking majority, the Jews' treachery of pitting labor against management, the Jewish belief that Christ was just another man on the earth, that Jews are admitted parasites who have gained control of our society, government and economies through their religion, the myth of the Jews being the chosen people, the confessed big lie that the Jews are a religion and not a nation, that the Jews fear being discovered for what they are. We are beginning to uncover the whole conspiracy on the part of the communists and world Zionism to capture control of our nation, and the Jews and their prostituted media are beginning to admit, as Mr. Rosenthal said, that we have them on the run. Believe us, dear reader, it will be a shock to the Jewish world when this gets into circulation and they discover we have our hands on this first-hand information from a Jew who was formerly respected in high government office, and it is this report that could trip the miracle. If, with your help, we can get this material distributed in the hands of citizens and even in government offices throughout the country, it might help bring about the desired action. As you have observed, the Jew conspiracy is to reduce our population to a subservient obedience designed to groom us for a Jew-controlled, international, money-changing dictatorship designed by Jewish Zionists and communists. This is occurring and will continue if the American public allows itself to be so subdued. The ignorance and apathy of the people have been an open invitation to the Jew to ensnare them in their socialist plans. These one-world subverters who have been running our bureaucracy in Washington have permitted over 12 million aliens to come into this country illegally from all the nations of the world, including China and Mexico and all nations in between. They are holding jobs which amount to more than the number of people we have unemployed. This manuscript can act as a weapon with which we will open the eyes of the masses. They know something is wrong, but they do not know what to do. Now we can show them. Only by knowing the truth of the problems can a proper course of action be made. Thus the importance of circulating this evidence to tens of thousands is necessary so victory could be within our grasp. Although it is a lengthy manuscript, its contents will hold the attention of almost any reader. Why? Because it affects every man, woman and child in America. Yes, even throughout the world. It is that important. There cannot ever be another document of such vital importance. This has to do with life and death truth. The revelations in this document are shocking and unbelievable to the innocent who can scarcely imagine such self-confessed evil ambitions. Mr. Rosenthal appeared to take great pride in being able to disclose some of their inner, untold secrets, all of which unfolds as we listen to every word spoken, mine and his, during the lengthy interview, Walter White's interview with Harold Rosenthal, which is recorded on cassette tapes as our documentation. The Jewish nation is the enemy of ALL nations. They have already become hysterical since this document was brought to their attention. God save us. And that appeal to God is not an idle gesture. My Christian faith remains intact. God save our nation. Even if at present we are prisoners of a propaganda monopoly by a handful of subverters and manipulators, we can, with his help, lift the yoke and break the bonds so that our majority by righteous representation can assert itself in following the freedom under our United States Constitution. Warning, there is a risk involved in printing this manuscript. This writer was struck down on March 13, 1978 and badly beaten. But I risked my life before and I shall gladly do it again, if only to get this knowledge into the hands of a few million people. At the time of my interview with Mr. Rosenthal, I knew it was powerfully potent and I had an overwhelming confidence in its content to arouse and awaken many who formerly disbelieved. It is interesting how the Rosenthal document confirms the theme of the Protocols of the Learned Elders of Zion. It might be called Personalized Protocols, 1979 edition. The Harold Wallace Rosenthal Interview 1976 Part 2. Most Jews do not like to admit it, but our God is Lucifer. The above is an exact quote of Harold Wallace Rosenthal, former top administrative aide to the then Senator Jacob Javits, who was since defeated in the 1980 election. I, Walter White, Jr., for the past 17 years director and editor of the monthly conservative publication Western Front, was told about Mr. Rosenthal's boastings around Washington, D.C., and I was encouraged to meet with him and to interview him for a fee. Mr. Rosenthal had stated publicly that the Jews will completely dominate throughout the entire world, and that they control every facet of political life in America and every aspect of the communication media. Mr. R's emphasis. Eventually Mr. Rosenthal and L were brought together, at which time I interviewed him privately and taped said interview with Mr. Rosenthal's knowledge and consent. During the lengthy meeting Mr. Rosenthal became impatient, rude and vulgar, all of which is recorded on the tape, and he sought the balance of his fee before I had concluded my questioning. Since the entire interview was so lengthy, in 1977 we released and published only the first portion under the same title as above, The Hidden Tyranny. Copies of this manuscript Part I have been sought by people from all around the globe. We now release the balance of the taped interview as Part II. Although I do not wish to digress, an Eastern analyst has told me that the Hidden Tyranny manuscript Part I has had a pass on readership of 3.5%. Thus, if true, the manuscript Part I has been read by more than 7 million people. When this final portion Part II begins circulating, its impact may be even greater. It depends upon you, the reader. Before any agreement was reached between us, I had established with Mr. Rosenthal that he would answer an unlimited number of questions with complete honesty and to the best of his ability. It was because of this understanding that I took issue with Mr. Rosenthal during the final stages of the interview and accused him of not being honest with me as it related to his response to my question, "Do you have knowledge of when and why the story began about the Jews being God's chosen people?" That is when he said in part, "Most Jews do not like to admit it, but our God is Lucifer, so I wasn't lying, and we are his chosen people. Lucifer is very much alive. As this goes to press, we still seek a governmental body to investigate Harold Rosenthal's allegations. My dictionary conveys such allegations as treason." We now pick up after a dispute during which the tape recorder has been turned off. Obviously where the W appears, those are my words. Where the R appears, that indicates comment. "W. Mr. Rosenthal, when true history is permitted to be published at large, when the truth actually surfaces, what do you expect the people of the world will do to you Jews? R. I thought we had concluded this interview. W. I'm concerned, and this question seems to require your answer. R. We were all finished white, and now you start to pump me again. I've already given you the tables of stone and yet you want more. R. Never mind, you wouldn't understand anyway, you Christians. W. So now you damn me because I'm a Christian. I thought we had tried to keep this on a business-like basis, did we not? R. Mumbled exclamation by Rosenthal. W. Whatever that is, or means, you're using words I've never heard before. Are you speaking English? R. I said. W. Will you spell it? R. Rosenthal spells M-I-S-C-H-N-A-H and briefly says it is from the basics of the Talmud. Mr. R. continues, "Let's not dwell on this. We're not getting anywhere, besides we had concluded things and that ends our agreement." W. Are you afraid to answer the question I posed? R. Who the hell do you think I am? I'm not afraid to answer any question, but I've given you enough information for a book. W. Did I not pay you as per our agreement? R. Yeah, sure, but again you're wanting more. All right, you want my opinion as to what the people of the world are going to think when history is written. W. Well, I didn't pose the question exactly like that, but go ahead. R. I don't give a damn what the people will think. Besides, whenever that happens you and I will be dead. Plain dead. Does that satisfy you? W. There are two or three questions among my notes here, Mr. Rosenthal, which have yet to be answered, and one is quite important. R. What is that? W. The story about the 6 million Jews supposedly cremated or murdered by the Nazis. R. What about it? W. Do you know who or what Jewish organization created that big lie? R. No, I don't know anything about its authenticity. I don't think it's too important anyway. W. Mr. Rosenthal, you know better than that. What about the younger generation who is growing up believing this big lie? And you say it's not important. R. It was an outgrowth of the war, and we all know that Hitler hated the Jews, so someone, somewhere, thought of exaggerating the number. We know that many, many Jews were killed by the Nazis. I'm sure you know that when World War II broke out, there were less than a quarter of a million Jews in ALL of Germany. Many thousands had already left Germany, or so what? As I said before, the Jewish people are the cleverest people in the world. So somebody thought up a big number, and perhaps it grew until now the number of Jews killed is 6 million. We have control of the news media, and that is the great difference. Otherwise your people could tell your big lie. Go you brush it off that lightly. Something of such enormity. Mr. R interrupted here saying, my people have been taught to give consideration and attention to our teachers rather than to the words of your people and laws. You're living in America, Mr. Rosenthal, it is our duty to uphold the laws of our country. Your religion teaches you that you may take an oath such as when being inducted into political office, and if the oath displeases you, you can deny silently the fact you have taken that oath. Now I have copies of the Jewish document, called the Kol Nidre, and I have proven their authenticity. The Kol Nidre All Vows is found in the Talmud book Nedarim Vows, and is recited each year in the synagogue on the Day of Atonement. It allows all future obligations, oaths or pledges a Jew may engage in to be deemed absolved, forgiven, annulled, and void, and made of no effect. This allows Jews to lie, subvert, cheat, etc. Well, all Jews don't practice that oath business, I'm sure. But they do practice it, do they not, with the rabbi's approval? To some extent. Perhaps when it is helpful to the individual. Is that not sinful? Or maybe to your way of thinking. I've told you, you and I are different. We are different people. Our beliefs are entirely different. We have been raised that way for many centuries, so it is not a sin for us to take any oath and break it. It's our teaching. This point on the difference of character has been made by many other Jewish writers and statesmen, and is well supported in history and science. Yet, ironically, Christians continue to believe the Jewish lie that we are all the same or equal. I've possibly saved the most important question of all until now. Listen, White, if you're going on any further, my time is money. We made an agreement and you're extending it beyond reason. You have it all on tapes, and remember that we agreed for you to take whatever you want from the tapes and your notes, but no reproduction of the tapes under any circumstances. They are to be destroyed. If you violate this, White, we'll cut your balls off. Who are we? Just get smart and you'll find out. You don't want any trouble and I don't either. You keep our agreement and no one gets hurt. Now give me the rest of my money. I intend to keep our agreement to the letter, and you have my word of honor that these tapes will not go any further than my use in the preparation of the story. There is no misunderstanding. We agree on that and I'll keep my word. You'll get your money in a minute. I have friends, White, I know a lot of people, and I don't want them to be reading things attributed to me that I didn't say. I don't give a damn what you or anybody else thinks, but I don't want lies printed, only the questions and answers of this interview. We understand each other perfectly in that regard, Mr. Rosenthal. Now, please, this question. But remember, I need Las Vegas money. Surely you must know somewhere in your schooling, or you have some kind of personal feeling or understanding as to when and why the story began, that the Jews are God's chosen people, or we are God's chosen people. Do you really believe that, Mr. Rosenthal? Or maybe I can explain, or perhaps Jake could give you a better answer. Who is Jake? Jake Javits, you know, my associate. He's the man that I work for, and he's a pretty smart guy. Plenty smart. His answer might serve your purpose for the story better. I want your answer. You and we actually have a different God. Is that the answer to the Jews being God's chosen people? To our God we are chosen ones. We are taught that from our childhood. That is an evasive answer. You know what I mean when I pose such a question and I don't believe your reply or your explanation. Are okay. I don't give a damn what you believe. WD, your people believe that Jesus Christ was a Jew? Are hell. We're not going back to that again, are we? We've already gone over that. W. That was before the tape machine was ever turned on. I don't think we recorded your reply to this question. R. Well, I can answer for all Jews. I guess you're asking what Jews throughout the world believe? W. Yes. R. Jake could answer that better than I. W. Please, I don't want Senator Javits' answer to anything. I want your answer. R. White, I know what you're searching for. I've known from the beginning, but that's all right. You and we are so apart. You're another breed. You're not our kind. It's not secret that we do not respect you, and of your kind. Genesis 3-15. W. Are you referring to just our kind as Christians? R. No, you Gentiles, all of you are our enemies. When I was a little boy, just a kid, very young, we were taught very wisely. Many centuries ago, when the Jews were persecuted in almost every country and driven out of so many countries, some of the governments, I cannot remember exactly whether it was the government of France or Spain. Anyway, the government demanded that the Jews must become Christians or be expelled from the country. W. Yes, I recall reading of this many times. Or was it France or Spain? W. Possibly both, but I vividly remember the story of Queen Isabella of Spain, how patient she was with the Jews, always giving them the benefit of doubt, until such time as her eyes were open completely to the deceptions of the Jews. But please go on. R. Anyway, the Jews at that time had a very wise rabbi leader, a world leader, and his advice was respected throughout the world. He said that the Jews must pretend to become Christians and buy their time and make real sacrifices if necessary. We have always been ready to sacrifice a few thousand Jews in exchange for world leadership. This was the plan of the Jews who instigated WW. Second, some Jews were sacrificed so that the persecution propaganda could continue. It is a small price and there is nothing wrong with that. I was taught that we Jews must become lawyers so we could control and strangle the courts, and even the judges, unless they were Jews. We should become doctors and teachers and leaders in all the churches, and this goal has almost been fully accomplished. I said it before and I'll say it now, that we will have complete, I say complete control, throughout the entire world possibly before I die. We are very successful in keeping you Gentiles confused. We create confusion. The word Babylon in Hebrew is Babel and means confusion. The Jews are masters at confusion because they are the ringleaders of the system known as Mystery Babylon. You're not stupid, White. You know that the Jews are successful because of our unity. We die for one another if necessary. We generously finance our own, so it is understandable how we govern not only in this country. We direct American foreign affairs. We are the super government of the world. Is that enough? W. Go on. I find what you are saying most interesting. Please go on. R. We are the most powerful international body of people in the world. Do you believe that? W. You speak with such confidence that I... Mr. R. interrupted, we can destroy any country's economy without their even being aware of it, if we want to. I think this is what you want to hear. Most Americans are totally unaware that by the Federal Reserve System their money has been stolen and the economy debunked. W. I am expecting you to be truthful with me, Mr. Rosenthal. R. Well, it's true. We are smart, we are powerful, and at the proper time we will mix up your Gentile women with the blacks, and in 50 years you'll be all mixed up. Niggers love to SW your white women and we encourage it by using them to our advantage. W. I recall you're saying that the blacks serve a purpose. R. Yes, we will use them to a great advantage. It was primarily by Jewish merchant ships and Jewish-run slave auctions that the blacks got to America. W. And try to destroy them after you have used them, I presume? R. If necessary. Yes. You and I know they're inferior people, a dumb race, but can be useful with the use of money. I mean real big money. Diggers will do anything for money. So, when the time comes, and you might even live to see it, we will have that complete control while you stupid Christians are waiting for your Christ, the imposter, to return as your savior. W. You sound bitter. R. Not at all. Why should I be bitter? We are on top. W. And when this whole sordid story becomes known, the result will be an aroused citizenry, an angry citizenry who will want to destroy you. R. How? I ask you how? You can reach the people. We have it all under such control that no one or nobody can people unless it is done through our media control. Who has in control of the mass media in the 20th century? Chairman of ABCPP Leonard Goldenson, President of CBS, James H. Rosenfield, Chairman of RCS, David Sarnoff, Chief Executive of NBC, Fred Silverman, President of PBS, Lawrence Grossman, Chairman of Time, Arthur Heiskell, Editor of U.S. News and World Report, Marvin Stone, Chief Executive of Dow Jones, Warren H. Phillips, Editor of Newsweek, Lester Bernstein, President of TV Guide, Walter Annenberg, President of New York Times, Salzburger Family, TV Program Producer, Norman Lear, these and more all are Jews. We have it sewed up. We have infected your churches completely and we now control the school system in the United States. It is a reality that we have complete control of organized Christianity. Almost anywhere, completely. I find so many things you say to be repulsive. The way you say things. R. It's what you wanted to hear or you wouldn't have paid good money for this interview. W. So long as you are truthful with me, but you still haven't answered that question I posed long back, do you believe that Jesus Christ was a Jew? R. As I said, Jake could give you a really intelligent answer. I know that most of our friends, kids and people I grew up with, in fact all of our friends, I'd say all of them, don't believe Jesus was a Jew. He was an imposter and millions of people all over the world now believe that Christianity was founded on untruth and deliberate incorrect translations of your Bible. Christ Jesus was a fraud. Even the National Council of Churches agree that there were false translations of the book your people respect. It's built on lies. This comment can hardly be regarded as coming from a true Christian source since the National Council of Churches was organized by Jews and its theology is controlled by them. W. According to the latest scholarly research, your ancestors are not Israelites but Mongolians and Asiatics from Eastern Europe and Western Asia, so your ancestors were thousands of miles from the Holy Land. They never, ever saw the Holy Land, proving that your people were not the chosen people of God. R. So what? What difference does it make? W. We have been taught the big lie for many years that Jews are God's chosen people, so it does make a difference. A very grave difference. R. What grave difference? W. Does it not prove that the great majority of Jews today are Khazarian origin? Your ancestors never trod the lands where Christ walked. They never knew Jerusalem and Palestine, so how could? Mr. R. interrupted R. shouting, what the hell difference does it make now? W. I find so many things that you have said as being repulsive in your arrogant manner and boasting, as it were, to admittedly being a part of this gigantic, this heinous plot against mankind, and at times, you attempt to brush things off by saying, what difference does it make? So much of what you have admitted staggers me, in fact, I lack the words. Mr. R. interrupts here. R. That's because you're a Gentile. You don't understand. You never will. Until it's too late, and my hope, personally, is that the American people do not. Mr. R. paused here. W. There is so much of what you have said, that as an individual, people may not believe you, they may not believe this interview. Mr. R. interrupts. R. That is why we have the control today. One of the reasons. Your people did not believe that it was possible for any people or race to accomplish what we have within a couple of hundred years. The Gentile is stupid. We are intelligent. I am going to be a very important person in and around Washington and soon. I intend to become nationally prominent. you are going to hear and read about me in the future. I'm young and have had the guts to tell you more than any other Jew would ever dare to tell you, at least publicly. I've stuck my neck out white. Some of what I have told you is part of the inner, invisible world of Jewry. W. Looking at you now as I denote your change, I see you as a despicable bastard, all of you. Mr. R. interrupts. R. No one calls me a bastard and gets away with it. W. You are all contemptible, base and detestable, R. I'll knock your goddamn head off if you call me a bastard. W. I wouldn't try it if I were you. I too have friends, many of them would like a chance to get to you, so let's keep this on a formal basis as it was intended at the beginning. Mr. R. then said something which I asked him to spell. He spelled O-Y-V-A-Y, Oy-Vey, and added Oy-Vey is Meir, and when asked what it meant he said I would not understand, but I am including it here because it is on the tape. W. Many times when referring to a person being a Jew, I have heard it said, well, I understand he is a Presbyterian or a Catholic. So, I would like your opinion or explanation. How do Jews feel about another Jew who becomes a Christian Scientist or converts to any other religion? Is he or she no longer a Jew? R. It can best be answered, well, let me put it this way. I don't know what your mother and father were, what nationality I mean. W. My father was British, English, and my mother was German. R. Well, if you decided to study Zionism or the Talmud or actually wanted to become converted and attend the synagogue, would that erase your English or German heritage? West, of course not, but I wanted to hear it from a learned Jew. What you have said then is that he or she is always a Jew. R. It's stupid, stupid. We are what we are. No matter what we join or adopt, it doesn't change what we are. I am a Jew and nothing can change me because I take up another religion. Such stupidity. This concept is verified in scripture by the rhetorical question, can the Ethiopian change his skin, or the leopard his spots? And in the parable of the tares and the wheat we find that the tares, the children of the wicked, are utterly destroyed. None are saved from the destroying fire, none are converted into wheat. God is not going to change the tares into something they never were. W. But the Jews are a great part of this deceit. R. We have a talent for confusing your issues. W. You are masters of deceit, and this cunning practice of yours has allowed your people to infiltrate the governments throughout the world. R. Why not? Why shouldn't we take over the banks, the universities, the church and the government if the Gentiles are not intelligent enough to run them? I could not have talked this way a few years ago, but now it is different. There is nothing to undo our strategy in the world today, so I can speak much more freely. What I've disclosed may help other Jews to speak out if they have any guts. We are not a pusillanimous race. W. You're very sure of yourself and your people, aren't you? R. We may be divided in many things, but nothing ever actually separates us. W. Who is W.E.? R. My people, the Jews, are as one when it counts most. No incident can ever divide us. Down throughout the centuries, Jews have learned they cannot trust other people. Thus, the Jewish racial bond is their greatest bond. W. I have heard Jews fight each other with venom. R. Ah, that's entirely different. Sure, we will fight one another, but as I say, when it counts most, we're as one. Our forte white is division and duplicity. It is an infallible weapon and we are skillful, perhaps perfectionists in its application. You don't have the intelligence to compete. W. But we have a culture that you Jews will never understand or equal. Our Jews have a family life. Our culture requires a high standard in education. We establish standards so that our kids exceed that of their parents. Our people continue to show a dramatic educational advancement. Our kids' success doesn't depend entirely on schools but on the family, and we are damn proud of these accomplishments. You can't compete. More than 12,000 doctors are graduated from medical schools in the United States every year, and almost 10,000 of them are Jews. Among the law students, the Jewish percentage is even higher. Jews are on such a solid foundation here in the United States that any kind of opposition to our control would only be temporary. You know, we laugh about the 6 million story just like the story that Christ was a Jew and the God's chosen people story. This should show people that we have a solidarity like none other in the world. Jews have a closeness to other Jews whom they have never seen or perhaps even heard of. As it is said, blood is thicker than water. W. Mr. Rosenthal, I hope you haven't lied to me in any of this interview, because if you did, we could retaliate on you. Understand? R. What I have told you is true, all of it. I don't need to lie. W. I have found the Jews' passion is greed, profit and the destruction of Christianity. Am I correct? R. I cannot speak for all Jews. W. I'm speaking of the great majority of Jews. Am I right? R. Maybe most Jews feel that way, but there's nothing wrong with that. W. I think you just go on and on because there is a bitterness within you, and perhaps you say things that even you do not believe. Some of the things you say are almost unbelievable. R. Well, I don't give a good goddamn what you believe. I've given you honest answers and opinions. Now no more questions. And don't forget our agreement. If I learn that the tapes are used other than what we agreed upon, you will suffer serious consequences. Do you understand? W. I understand. And now, Mr. Rosenthal, here is the balance of the money agreed upon for this interview. Finis, dear reader, after the tape machine had been turned off, I accused Harold Rosenthal of not living up to our agreement in replying truthfully to my question as to the Jews being God's chosen people. He replied, "We are God's chosen people. Most Jews do not like to admit it, but our God is Lucifer, so I wasn't lying, and we are his chosen people." Lucifer is very much alive. I was stunned. I had no further comment. I had watched this arrogant, boastful person change at times like a chameleon that changes its color. Many times he showed a hatred, yes, even a venom. At the conclusion, I felt unclean being around him. The hidden tyranny has been revealed. Much of what Harold Wallace Rosenthal said brought to the surface a reality we veterans have known all along, but this Jewish treachery is more shocking when getting it all in one package. It has been alleged that Harold Rosenthal was killed because he talked too much, so it is understandable, if true, inasmuch as he made such shocking statements almost 7 years ago that we now see as a reality. As an example, we cite the staggering exploitation of the Negro and the black presence everywhere today. We minimize Mr. R's boastings of the control of our churches. Unbelievable then. Now, in the fall of 1983, it is a reality that the Supreme Court sanctions IRS-approved state churches. When Rosenthal made such statements about church control, we felt that he was bragging, but the present-day persecution of the church and its ministries here in America by the government is today a fact. If you were told that a sheriff and three deputies would wait in the darkness of midnight to arrest a pastor, one Everett Sullivan, in Omaha, Nebraska, because he intended to resume the daily educational ministry in Faith Baptist Church in Louisville, you would not have believed it 6 years ago. Today, however, it is just another bizarre episode in one of the most incredible stories in American history. Organized juries determined in the final oppression of Christianity via taxation and regulation is now a fact. The enemy is not coming. The enemy is here. War has been declared on Christianity, churches, religious freedoms, the true American way, and the white race. Are other freedoms worth standing for? Living for? Fighting for? Dying for? If so, let's stand up and be seen and speak up and be heard. The time to fight for freedom is while we still have the freedom to do so. Christians are to be the salt of the earth and the light of the world. Salt and light are dominion qualities. It is time for Christians to exercise godly dominion, and if by the instrument of governmental authority a people is being driven to its destruction, then rebellion is not only the right but the duty of every member of that people. The hot blood which stood us at Concord still flows in our veins. We need true Americans for the defense of America against Jewish tyranny, and there are millions of freedom-loving, red-blooded Americans out there waiting to be told. So let us ally ourselves together in the refusal to permit those alien devils from ruining our once great nation. When the American people really discover and realize what the unspeakable Jew has perpetrated, their wrath will know no bounds, and the gutters will run deep with blood.